Has someone ever given you a job to do but not given you the tools to do it? It's funny, I said that during first service and got a bunch of laughs too. I assume that means yes. Have you ever been told what to do but not how to do it? That is frustrating. That is very frustrating. Now, I think that's happened, unfortunately, a lot in the church. And what I mean by that is we've been given a job to do. We've actually been given the most important job to do. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It's actually the very last thing that Jesus says in the book of Matthew. It's a passage that we often call the Great Commission, where we have been sent out. And in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." That is a job that we have been given. Christ has told us that it's our job to go out to make disciples, to teach them about him. Now, I think so often in church, and maybe you're sitting there this morning, and you think, well, that's great, but how do I do that? How do I go out and make disciples? How do I go out and teach people about Jesus? I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a theologian. How can I go out and teach people about Jesus? That's the question that I wanted to answer when I started my doctorate work. As some of you know, hopefully May 14th, all goes well, I'll be graduating with a doctor of ministry degree. And I started that 5 years ago, and a lot of things have happened in between. But way back 5 years ago, my whole goal and my whole purpose was to answer that question. You see, a doctorate of ministry degree is different than like a PhD doctorate that you normally think of. The goal of the doctorate of ministry is that I would come up with something, a need at my church, and I would implement a program to address that need at the church to make our church better. So this degree is all about us and our church and doing ministry. And hopefully, as we do that, then some other pastors and other churches can learn from what we've done. And so that's the goal of all of it. And so as I looked at that and looked at the need and thought, man, what's something I can do to really help our church? Ultimately, the question that I wanted to answer is how can we teach what I'm going to call foundational theology, the most important things about Jesus? That's what that means. How can I teach that to people and equip them so that they can go and make disciples of all nations and teach that to other people? How can we do that? How can we do that without everybody becoming theology students, right? Some of you would love to be a theology student. Some of you could care less about being a student. And so how can we do that? How can we accomplish that? And I came to the conclusion that we should do that the exact same way that Jesus did it. That's the conclusion I came to. We should do that the way that Jesus did it. The title of my project is actually Developing a Storying Method for Teaching Foundational Theology in a Local Church Setting. That's a fancy way of teaching people about Jesus through stories. Today I'm going to do something a little different, something I don't normally do. Today we're going to do a topical sermon. I normally do expository sermons. What I do is we sit down and we go verse by verse through a large section of Scripture. We just spent, I think it was 10 months in the book of Ephesians. We just finished up. My record is the book of John. It was 3 years, if you remember, in the book of John. And so normally that's what I do. We go verse by verse. But a lot of times when I'm introducing a new series, I'll take a time and just do a topical sermon. We'll talk about some important things and show you some verses throughout different places in Scripture to kind of give us an idea of where we're going. We're starting a series about the parables. We're going to be going through here in the weeks and months and maybe years, I don't know, we'll see. In the weeks and months to come, we're going to go through the parables of Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about. And so I wanted to give us kind of an introduction of where we're going to go. In this introduction, what I want to do is I want to talk about the power of stories. The power of stories. Today, we're going to talk about what it looks like, the power of story in general. You know, because as people in culture, the way God created us, stories are powerful. And then next Sunday, in part two of our series, we're going to look at why stories are used in Scripture specifically, and why stories in the Bible are so powerful. So if it's our desire to go and make disciples, to teach them everything that Jesus has taught us, then here's the things I want us to remember today. These three things. Number one, the story of Jesus should be clearly understood. When we tell the story of Jesus, it should be simple. It should be clearly understood. It doesn't need to be some huge complex thing. The second thing we need to remember is the story of Jesus should be naturally conveyed. It should be conveyed in a way that's just natural, that's just part of the way we communicate and part of the way that we talk to each other. And the third thing I want to look at today is the story of Jesus should touch hearts and change lives. It shouldn't just be a good story. It should touch hearts and change lives. And so through the next couple weeks in this introduction and through the parables that we're going to look at, I hope that I can give you the tools that you feel perfectly comfortable going and making disciples of all nations and teaching them all about Jesus. And so that's where we're going, and that's what I want to do in this coming series. So let me pray for us as we get started. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would just give us a passion for your stories. Father, I ask that as we come today, you would give us a desire to share the good news with all people, that we would desire to teach them the story about Jesus, not just from one or the Gospels or not just from all the Gospels, that we would want to teach them the story of Jesus from the beginning of the Bible till the end, and the story of all Jesus has done in our lives. Father, give us a passion for that. Because once we have a passion for that, then, Father, we will want the tools, we will desire the tools, and we will look for ways that we can share. So, Father, today I ask through this message and through the series to come that you would give us that passion and give us that desire, that we would long to fulfill the great commission that you have given us. So, Father, do that work in us. Open our hearts to what it is you have to tell us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the story of Jesus should be clearly understood. If we think about the Bible, and we think about the person in the Bible that told the story of Jesus more than anybody else, we'd have to think of probably the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, who's the guy that went around and shared the story of Jesus more than anybody else in the New Testament? And it's the Apostle Paul. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we get something really great. The Apostle Paul tells us how he did it. He says, here's what I did. Here's how I shared the story of Jesus all over the place with Jews and Gentiles, with Romans, with soldiers and widows. And this is how I shared the gospel everywhere I went. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19, here's what Paul says. He says, although I am free from all and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I am not without God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may by every possible means save some. Paul saw it necessary to meet everyone right where they were at. That's the way he did it. He saw it necessary to meet everyone right where they're at. Now, the word communicate actually is from a Latin word communis, which means common. Communicate means basically common. And why that's important is before we communicate, we have to establish some commonality. The most very basic level is language, right? We have to figure out a way where we can communicate with each other. We have to figure out some kind of commonality where you understand my words and I understand yours. But then it goes beyond that, and we communicate better and better the more commonality we can establish. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I became a slave to slaves. I became somebody without the law to somebody without the law. I became weak with the weak. I met them right where they were at. I found that commonality. To give you a good example of that, the missionary work that happened among a people group called the Tiv people of central Nigeria. And what happened is the missionaries that went there, they went to seminary and they learned how to preach messages and stand up in front of a church. And so they went to Nigeria to this unreached people group who had never heard the gospel. And they gathered people together and they stood up on Sunday morning and they preached messages. And as they did that, they won about one convert a year during that time. But something really neat happened. Those converts, those people who came to understand the gospel and accept Christ, they began to take that message and the story of Jesus, and they set that message to their indigenous chants and music that they did. And that's the way that they would communicate. That's what they would do when they get together, is they would have these musical chants, and they would tell stories through those chants. And so these new converts from that people group took that story about Jesus and began to tell them to their friends in that way, and the gospel exploded across that whole people group. People came to Jesus left and right because they were met right where they were at. We have to know the listener and communicate in a way that is best for them, not easiest for us. You see Paul's energy that he put in there? I came to them right where they were at. And the greatest example of this truth is Jesus himself and the way he communicated. He told stories to teach, but not just any stories. Do you know what kind of stories Jesus told to fishermen? Fishing stories. Do you know what kind of stories he told to shepherds? Stories about sheep. Same is true with Pharisees. The same is true with laborers, day laborers. The same is true with priests. Same is true with widows. That's the way Jesus taught. He met them right where they were at, and he told them a story that they could relate to. It's the teacher's responsibility as the one bringing the message to communicate in the listener's terms. It's our job as we bring the message to meet people right where they're at. See, just conveying information can easily become self-centered, where truly communicating makes others the priority. We've been working with some young men who are interested in getting into ministry, a lot of guys that have just graduated from college. And one of the issues that we're discovering is they have learned to communicate the way a college professor communicates. And the idea is they just stand up there, they give you a bunch of information, and you do whatever you want with it. And that's not what it is to share the gospel with people. That's not even what it is to preach. Because the desire is change. The desire is, I'm going to share this information with you however I need to, so that you understand it and that you get it and that it can make a change in your life. And that's what we're trying to teach these young guys how to do. Because just conveying information can easily become self-centered, where to truly communicate with someone, you have to put them first. They have to be the priority. Howard Hendricks says, you can impress people at a distance, but you can impact them only up close. You can impress people at a distance, but you can only impact them up close. So the story about Jesus should be clearly understood. But how do we do that? How do we go about doing that? It's the second thing I want to talk to you about. The story of Jesus should be naturally conveyed. This is one of my favorite parts. Every year, I read through the Bible in a year. Done it lots of times in lots of different translations. And every year, on the first of the year, on New Year's Day, I always get excited for this. Genesis 1:1. Every year again, I love Genesis 1:1. Let me just read the first few verses for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was a morning on the first day. I love that, because every year that's the beginning of the story again, isn't it? Every year again. It's like, I don't know what your favorite story is or your favorite movie is, the one you've seen 100 times. And when it starts off, you know, when you hear the theme music to Star Wars, and you go, yeah, it's Star Wars. It's that idea every year again, Genesis 1:1. It's a story, isn't it? And that's the once upon a time of the story of Jesus. That's where it begins. Stories are the most natural way that we communicate with each other. If you think about it, the most famous writings in history are stories. In ancient Greece, 8th century BC, long before Christ, the Odyssey and the Iliad, most famous works. And as you go through the centuries, the 2nd century, it was Beowulf, 14th century, the Canterbury Tales, the 16th century, Romeo and Juliet. If you're interested, I'd encourage you to go Google the most famous writing, most well-known writing from every century. You'll find that over 90% of them are what? Stories. It seems like every culture throughout history, their stories remain their most famous and their most loved writings. It's stories. That's what we love. And we can't discuss ancient writings without discussing the greatest ancient writing ever, which is the Scripture. The Bible was written across a span of over 1,600 years, and it was written on three different continents, and it was written in three different languages. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so the Bible, over 1,600 years, three continents, three different languages, and it tells one story. Brothers and sisters, that's miraculous in the truest sense of the word. One story. The goal of the Bible is to convey the most important information that mankind has ever heard. And how is it done? In a story. Over 75% of the Bible is narrative. Even within the letters that Paul wrote, there's stories in those letters, even though a lot of it's theology. In the Psalms, there's stories in the poetry even. 75% of the Bible is stories. And this isn't only true for, you know, ancient, uneducated man. You know, those cavemen, they loved their stories, but we're much more intelligent than that. The truth is the vast majority of the world's population learns best through stories. Even in highly educated America, did you know that 90% of Americans are oral learners? It's only 10% of our culture in America today that learns best through reading and through books. We talk to each other, and the way that we talk to each other the most is in stories. On the New York Times best-selling list from 2019, the best-selling list of nonfiction books. Now, you think of nonfiction books, and you think about, you know, how to make money on the stock market, how to cut your carbs in half, you know. I don't know what they are. I don't read many of them. But 81, over half of the best-selling nonfiction books in 2019 were, what are you guessing? Stories. They're still stories. We love to read stories. We love to tell stories. Why do we share the gospel through stories? Why do we teach theology through stories? Why did Jesus use stories? Because stories are the most basic and natural way to communicate. The most basic and most natural way that we talk to each other. So the story of Jesus should be conveyed naturally, the same way we talk to each other. So last thing I want to look at today is the story of Jesus should touch hearts and change lives. Touch hearts and change lives. I want to bring you back to where we were last week in our State of the Church address. We were in Acts chapter 2. And so I want to show you something in Acts chapter 2 that was kind of in between what we talked about last Sunday. If you look at Acts chapter 2, the vast majority of that chapter is a sermon that Peter preaches. It's a great sermon. You should read it. He kind of starts at the beginning, and guess what he does in his sermon? He tells a story about Jesus. He tells everything that had happened and everything Jesus did. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, at the end of his sermon, at the end of his story, here's what happens. It says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. What happened when they heard the story of Jesus? Some translations say they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. It hit them in the very deepest part of who they are. The people listened to Peter tell the story of Jesus, and because of it, they were radically changed for all eternity. So our goal in talking about Christ, in teaching about all that Jesus said and did, in teaching people about the Bible, it's not to impress people, but to impact them. That's why we tell those stories. Not simply to convince them, but to change them. If you've won an argument and the person goes away completely unaffected, then you haven't done your job. You can be the greatest theologian in the world, but it's not our goal to impress people with how smart we are. It's our goal that they be changed. And stories have the power to do that more than anything else. Stories have the power to do that more than anything else. I think if you reflect back on your life and the times in your life that you have been cut to the heart, how many times were you, you know, reading a list or studying, you know, just some points of theology? It's the stories that cut us to the heart. How does a story change hearts, change lives? I want to read to you exactly what I wrote in my project, because I can't say it any better than this. One reason a story has impact beyond superficial thinking is that stories can reach the emotions above and beyond simply stimulating thought. When learning something new, we draw upon not simply information we have been taught, but our experiences from the past. We relate new information to situations we have been in. Because these are things we have physically experienced, emotions are connected with them. When learners hear a story, they enter the story by seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and even feeling what those in the story are experiencing. You see, you don't just hear a story, you experience a story. Have you ever had that moment where a story is so intriguing that you can hear the sounds that are happening, you can smell the smells, that you're experiencing what's happening? You see, we're connected. We don't hear stories, we experience stories. And the purest and most perfect example of this is the truth that comes in the transformation when someone hears the gospel story. James McClendon says, when one encounters the gospel story, it's not an escape from reality, but an entering into what is most real. Don't you love that? When you hear the gospel story, it's not an escape from reality. I finally heard what is most real in life. I think it's no mistake that God shares his love and salvation for us in the form of a story. The gospel touches hearts and it changes lives. So how is everything I said today tools to complete the job that Christ gave us, the job of making disciples and teaching people about Jesus? Well, that, to go back to where we started, that's really what my project was all about. The truth is, anyone can tell a story. If we desire to make a preacher or a classroom teacher or a theology professor or even a worship leader, there's training that's involved in those things, right? There's training that has to happen, and training takes time. But it's simple to teach someone to tell a story, isn't it? Think about it for a minute. If you hear a really good story, do you have to like sit down afterwards and go, okay, let me memorize that story. I need to try to remember that story. When you hear a really good story, don't you tell it days and weeks and months and sometimes years to come? How many stories do you have from years ago that you tell just fine? You have no problem telling that story. And if you hear a story from a friend that's a really good story, do you have trouble going, man, I heard this story the other day, but I don't remember what it was all about? No, you look for opportunities, don't you? You're like, oh man, I got to tell you this story. And then honestly, the application is right there, isn't it? I've heard this story, I've learned this story. Somebody just told it once and I know it. And now I can't wait to tell someone else. That's the application. It comes naturally. I want to tell somebody else this story. We do this all the time in our daily lives, don't we? When's the last time you were excited to tell somebody a story? I think I told 5 stories so far this morning that I couldn't wait to tell the person when I got here to church today. I'm like, oh, you got to hear this story. You got to hear the story about this pickup I just bought. We do that. We do that naturally. So here's what we did for my project. It was actually really fun. We had this group together. There was 7 of us. And a good mix, different ages, men and women. And what we did is we learned a parable from Scripture. And we didn't memorize a parable from Scripture. We learned the story. And we learned to tell it like a story. You know, hey, let me tell you the story about a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. So you just learn to tell it as a story, because that's what it is. And then what we did, and this was the fun part, is then each one of the participants came up with their own story that teaches that same thing about God's love for us. And all that was fun. And I remember every one of those stories because some of them just cracked me up. They were the funniest stories. And some of them had us all in tears as we listened to the person tell their story. And I'm hoping that when we get to that specific parable, that some of those people will come up and share the parable with you and share their personal stories with you. I'm really hoping we can do that. But it's natural, and it's impactful. And so that's what I want to do in the weeks, months to come. We're going to listen to the stories that Jesus told. And we're going to learn what it is that he was teaching. And honestly, the parables have one central lesson, each one of them, and it's usually a really simple lesson. A lot of times we way overcomplicate it. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know what, God loves you a lot. And so we're going to hear the story and we're going to go, this is what Jesus meant. This is what he taught with the story. And now, when I leave church today, I can go tell someone that story. In fact, I can think of a story in my life that sounds just like that story that Jesus told. So that's my goal and that's my hope in the weeks to come. We want to learn the great eternal truths from the stories of Jesus so that we can share those stories with others. My goal, as we look through these things, is to experience the power of a story. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible privilege that you've given us to be those who are called out to share your message. Lord, I know sometimes we can hear that and we can be intimidated. We can be overwhelmed by that responsibility. But Lord, as we leave here today, I just ask that we would see that as the incredible privilege that it is. Lord, I think of all the times that my kids have an exciting story to tell. And so they run in and they all fight over who gets to tell the story. Lord, let us have that kind of passion. Let us say, no, I am the one that gets to tell this story. Because it is so good. It is so good. Father, give us that kind of passion to share your story. And then, Lord, as you fill us with that, I believe we'll have a desire to know more and more and more stories so we can share more and more and more about Jesus and the truth from the beginning of the Bible to the end and all that it's meant in my life. Lord, do that work as we look through the stories of Jesus. Teach us the power of a story, the power of his story. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.